Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And we will not do a verse-by-verse teaching. I want to just present this to you in our first point of the message. But to notice carefully the sin that is presented in this portion of Scripture, the very first sin, and then the road that it puts the world on. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made into corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, boy, this is where it's heading. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we just put the spotlight on thankfulness, Lord, in our Thanksgiving Eve service, that you would take this and message, Lord, and may it energize some things in our life. Make us a thankful people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I read a lot of books as I was trying to educate myself. Back many years ago, I decided that one of the things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to accomplish was that he wanted me to do some writing. And since I had never taken any courses or classes on writing, I just decided to educate myself. By the way, there's a really neat thing called a library. And they've got these little cards they'll give you, and you can get things called books. And probably in about a 9-month period, I read probably close to 50 books on the writing craft, the trade, and it helped me, of course, prepared me, and gave me the basis to be able to learn how to write effectively. And it's something that you never get to the end of. You're always learning if you're wise. But one of the things that you'll see pop up in articles, pop up in chapters every once in a while, something they call power words. Power words. Now, these are these magical words that if you say them, it ignites certain emotion or it grabs certain interest. And by the way, it's pretty much based on a scientific study. There are certain words. For instance, if you were to Google power words, you'd see that there's all kinds of sites you can go to that if you're creating a resume, there are words that you can put in that resume and phrases that you can use in that resume that's going to cause an employer to take a harder look at your resume just by the wording, the words that you use. If you're a writer, there's power words that'll strengthen your writing. People in the newspaper business, headlines, big on power words. There's got to be certain words, if you're trying to generate a certain emotion or attract a certain group's interest, there's certain key words that do that. Advertisement. By the way, beware, please. Beware. I printed this off. 9 power words to punch up your ads. Advertisements use words to grab your attention, and they keep using them, and they keep working. Here's the 9 power words. Secret. Also, they'll use little known. Oh, my goodness, I better read about this. Somebody's got a secret. A system, new or improved. By the way, power itself is a power word. Magic, sometimes you'll see. A magic stain remover. Magic cure. Immediate, because we want everything now. Insider. Suggest that maybe there's a group that knows something we don't. Here's a word, free. How many times have you found out that when you see free in an ad, there's always some little catch somewhere along the line where it ceases to be free? Then a power word that's just on every list out there is the word you. You know why? Because people in these last days are about themselves. And so that's what I'm talking about, a little bit of about power words. Marketing. They even have power words for just about every single group of people, from doctors, nurses have certain wordings and words that they teach them to use, certain ways to say things, certain ways to state things. Politics, huge in power words. Tax relief. You know that little wording right there, that phrase right there, was created to appeal to the populace. The very word relief means, carries with it the connotation that we are overly burdened, that we needed this heavy burden brought up. So some politician that's offering tax relief, that appeals to us. And we are, by the way, overtaxed and overburdened. But it's just the uses of wording. Let me just say this, folks. You say, preacher, is this just gobbledygook? I'll just say this. I think it would be good for us to learn how to properly speak, what to say and what not to say, and be a little more intelligent in what we say as Christians. By the way, you see, is there power in a single word? How about this verse in Proverbs? A word, fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so many times, folks, we just blab things and say things and don't care who it hurts and how it sounds. And forgive us, dear mighty God, forgive us as Christians for our own silliness and foolishness and stupidity sometimes on the way we talk to other people. But let me just say this. Along with the study of power words, you'll see that there are some things called power phrases. And I believe that the most powerful of all the words that you can use is to simply quote the Bible. How many of you believe that all of these words are power words? Amen. Brother Tom Daffron, I was just talking to him briefly, and he was talking about how some of the folks were texting him. And he said, Brother Jerry, the most encouraging text I've got is just people sending me Bible verses. And there's something, no matter what we try to conjure up to say to bring comfort, if we would just take the power words of the Bible and send it to somebody, they'd probably receive more comfort than all the gobbledygook we could come up with. And so power words, power phrases. I studied power phrases. I think there's three power phrases that are the most powerful power phrases in all of humanity. I love you, thank you, and supper's ready. Those... Power, brother. Power phrases, man. That exciting, you know? So, amen. I'm going to focus on that middle one today. Thank you. Thank you is a power phrase. And if you think about it, we know that it is, not because of anything we can find on the internet, but because the Bible emphasizes it as being so important, so integral to who we are. Let me encourage you to just learn to integrate the power phrase, these two words, thank you, into every single day, every single situation of your life. You say, preacher, what for? Is a gimmick? No, let me tell you this. The power of those two words cross all boundaries. Let me tell you why they're so important. Number one, those two words have the power to change you. You young people that never say thank you, listen to me. You're on the road to becoming a reprobate. Let me say it again. You young people, that you've already got an attitude about this. There's an unthankful spirit in you. No matter what your parents do, it's not enough. You're going to gripe. You know, you walk in every day to the Christian school and you nitpick about stuff. Can't say a nice thing about anybody. You are on the road to being a reprobate. Now, I can help you fix that right now. You want to get off that road? You want to get on a better road? Then integrate these two words into your everyday vocabulary and say them and mean them from all of your heart. Shame on you if you've got the point where you can't look at your mom and with sincerity express verbally your thankfulness to what she does for you. And so it'll change you. Wasn't it Bob Jones Sr. that said, gratitude is the loveliest flower in the garden of a man's soul. And when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh gone. You know what he was saying? He's gone. He's going the way of a reprobate. He's going to end up a reprobate. And so number one, thank you has the power to change you. Let me give you this. I'll give you several things and then you take them and think about them and meditate on them. Number two, thank you has the power to change your family. Let me just give you one of the great marriage secrets of all time. Integrate gratitude in your marriage relationship. Be thankful. Just be thankful. Is it that easy? Yeah. Thank you could have the power to transform your marriage. Thank you. When you get thankfulness injected into a family, it's amazing what happens. The power of gratitude in child rearing. I got this. Matter of fact, I wrote it on the bottom. My computer dinged and told me I got an email. I'd already checked my emails, but I thought, well, it might be something right before the service. Sometimes on a Wednesday, we'll get prayer requests. So I checked it real quick, and it was a prayer letter from David Gross and his family, who are missionaries, to Moldova. Moldova, Moldova. And by the way, they came to our church. This is one of the gyms that are, it's kind of their name still out there. I'd love to support them. We didn't, but maybe we can someday. This is what he wrote. It's his prayer letters. And I just took it up. It caught my attention. Normally, I'd print it off and set it off the side because it was 6:23 when it came in. I'm getting ready for the service. But I was reading the first couple lines as it was printing off, and this is what it said. Thankfulness is not about our possessions, it's about our perspective. It is not based on our accounts, but upon our attitude. Living here in Moldova has certainly given us a different perspective and an even greater attitude of thanksgiving. Stephanie thought it would be neat to paint a picture of life in Moldova through sharing for what we are thankful. Notice this. Wow, this is refreshing. A missionary husband and wife, little children in Moldova. How many of you know where Moldova is? I don't even know if it's on this planet. I don't know where these people are. Here it is. First, we are thankful for our salvation and calling that we have through Christ. With 98% of the people here not knowing how to receive the forgiveness of sin, we thank the Lord that we are saved and have been given the joy of bringing this message of hope to the people of Moldova. Secondly, we're thankful for the American government. What? That's what he says. Trying to keep America from becoming a full-fledged socialist country is better than fighting to keep your country from going further into communism. Well, that's a perspective. Thirdly, we are thankful for running water. For many people here in Moldova, running water depends on how fast you carry the buckets from the well. For us, we're thankful for having running water and hot water from the faucet, which not all of these folks have. Fourthly, we're thankful for the food here in Moldova. After spending 2 years of eating fast food on deputation, we readily welcome the abundance of fresh fruits, vegetables, meat, and Moldovan bread. Stephanie cooks just about everything from scratch, which is how the Moldovians are used to living. I'm thankful for that. I lost 20 pounds since we arrived here this past February from the abundance of walking and eating healthy food. Fifthly, I'm thankful for my wife and children's sacrifice to be here in Moldova. Lastly, we're thankful for our prayers, your prayers and financial support. You know, I thought about this when I read this. I thought, the power to change a family. Here's a missionary wife that could be sitting over in a corner, moping, thinking about all that she had and all that she left. Here's a missionary's wife that could, I promise you this is true, eventually bring her husband home from the field. You know what she said? She said, hey, you know what? Let's just sit down and look around and thank God for some things that we have. Are you getting that? The power to change your family. Power of gratitude in child rearing. Every day, wouldn't it be neat if from time to time we maybe sit down with one of our children and just say, you know what? I want you to know that most every day of my life, I thank God that He gave you to be my daughter. Do you have any idea the impact of the words like that from a father or from a mother to their children? We're so quick to tell them what we're displeased about. Many, many times we're so slow to just tell them how thankful we are that God gave them to us. Let me say this. When you're telling anyone thank you, especially your children, be specific. One of the most powerful character-building tools is specific appreciation expressed for godly character or obedient behavior. And I promise you, that'll do more to reinforce the right things in them than all the hollering and screaming and carrying on will about the negative. Let me give you this. Is a thank you power words? Yes, they have the power to change you, the power to change your family, have the power to change your church. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, Colossians 3:15, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Look up here. Let me tell you, this is true. You've been to other churches besides this one. I've been to my share. Let me say this. Every church has a personality. You hang around a church very long, it's got a personality. I've been in griping churches. I've been in sulking churches. I've been in sad churches. I've been in happy churches. I've been in thankful churches. I've been in excited churches. I've been in dead churches. Let me say this, folks. Every single person in this room contributes to the personality of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every single one of us contribute to the personality of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, Brother Ward, that's been coming just recently, I went and visited him and his wife, visited with them and their children. One of the first things I usually ask is, did the people make you feel welcome? I didn't even get a chance to ask him that. They've come a couple times, they're visiting. I hope they settle in here. The first thing, before I could even ask anything, he said, boy, you got a friendly church preacher. He said, and I don't mean the kind of fake friendliness or friendliness because they want you to join. He said it was genuine. It was sincere. And I wanted to share that with you. Could I say this? That's part of our personality. Let's not let that go to the wayside. I know that you're busy, and I know sometimes, listen, folks, sometimes when people rush out the door, I understand there's just times you have to. But if you don't have to, take a little bit of time. Find the visitors. Find the visitors. Because you're contributing to some type of personality. Gratitude ought to be a church personality trait. Make sense? You know, if we had just a... Can I just maybe throw this at you? And I didn't have much time to think about it. But if our church's personality could be described in maybe six or seven words, I jotted these down, and probably if I had a little more time, I might have... maybe have left out something. But I hope it'd be friendly. I hope our church's personality is loving. I hope it's sincere. I don't think there's anything that turns people off more than hypocrisy. Sincerity. I hope that we're passionate. I hope they sense that there's a passion here. Passion for the things of the Lord. I hope that we have as our personality trait holiness. By the way, that's an important personality trait. People ought to come in and feel, you know what? This is a folks that aren't perfect, but they're striving towards holiness. That ought to be important. But I wrote this one down too. I hope that they would sense that we're a thankful church. How do you know if a church is a thankful church? People that aren't thankful gripe a lot. They complain a lot, they grumble a lot, and they criticize a lot. You know why? Because they're focused on the handful of things they don't have instead of all the abundance that God's given. When upon life's billows you're tempest tossed, when you're discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, surprise you what the Lord has done. Let me give you this thought. It's got also the power to impact the lost. Let me just give you, without expounding on it a whole lot, but we've proved it with the ministry here. Operation what? Folks, let me tell you something. I have watched an expression of an appreciation to a lost, hardened veteran melt that hard exterior and allow him to, with a willing and open heart, listen to a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. If you're trying to impact someone, now I'm going to just ask the Holy Spirit to use this in your life. You got a family member that's lost and you're trying to impact them for Christ. When's the last time you came to them with a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness for who they are and what they are and how much they mean to you? You'd like to see that boss saved, why don't you just make an appointment to sit down with him and just thank him for the opportunity that he's given you and for the job that you have. So many times I have found that there's just something about saying thank you that just gets right into the very heart of a person. You know, I believe it's one of the most basic of all human needs is the need for someone to just appreciate them and appreciate what they've done. I think you'll find it's true in your life. Wouldn't it be true in a lost person's life? Let me give you this last thought. It has the power to energize your prayers. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God says, bring your prayers, bring your asking, bring your supplications, your intercession for others, but bring it with thanksgiving. How about Colossians 4:2? Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Power words, power words, power words. Here they are. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we embark upon this Thanksgiving season, Lord, that you'll help us all to be reminded of what the Bible has to say about the importance of just developing the character trait of gratitude in our lives. And Lord, above all, I pray, dear God, that you would sense in us a thankful spirit towards you for all that you've done and all that you've given and all that you've accomplished. Lord, we got a lot to be thankful for. I would pray, Lord, in this Thanksgiving season that you would please keep our people safe. There's folks on the road. There's folks, oh Lord, that are traveling here, loved ones of family members that are on the road right now coming our way. And I would thank you, Lord, for taking good care of them. And please continue to do that. Lord, may we energize in our life, Lord, this character trait of appreciation in all that we do. Lord, let it change us. Let it change our families. Let it change our church. Let it be one of the tools we use to impact the lost. And Lord, may our prayers be transformed because of our thankfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name.